So we were yesterday. We were speaking about Shane and Regel. The Gemara wanted to know where do we know Shane and Regel from, right? So the Gemara described or tried to learn it out from the words of Shilach and Beir. So you can see in Perek Chavbet Pasuk Dalet, right? There's some cryptic almost line here. Ki'aver ish sedeucher v'shilach et biiro biir v'steacher. So the verb v'shilach in Beir is unclear. What is transpiring? So the Gemara Darshan says v'shilach is regel, right? That's damage done by the trampling of the animal. Uvi'er is damage done by the eating of the animal. So now the Gemara is going to further discuss that this morning. So on top of Gimel Amud Aleph, Amar Mar v'shilach zu regel. Right, this is regel. V'cheinu omer v'shalchei regel ashur v'chamor. Right, because we learned that the pasuk from Yishayahu. It taught us that Mishalche has, or Shilach has to do with Shor and Chamor of animals, and also Regel. At the time of the Ksiv Rachman Mishalche Regel, Shor v'Chamor. So the fact that we interpret Mishilach to mean the damage of Regel, Havalav Hachi b'may Mukimla, what would have been the other option? I mean, we have a verb that says Mishilach. What are your options for damage done by Mishilach if it's not Regel? So the Gemara says, well, if it had not said this, eat Karen, what are you going to think? It's Karen? That's already Ktiv. We have that, we've learned that yesterday. Ishain, Ktiv. If you're talking about Shane, we already know that from Uvier. So when it says Itzrich, Zagadat Chamina, I would have thought Idi V'Idi, Ashain, right, that both of them are going on Shane. Both Vishilach and Bier have to do with Shane, except they're different types of Shane. V'ad Mechal Yekarna, V'ad Zalo Mechal Yekarna. Right, that is, one of them is where the Karen is consumed, and one of them is the Karen is not consumed. The way Rashi learns Karen consumed and not consumed is similar to what you would see in other Mishnayos throughout Zrayim, which is, if Karen means that the core or the root is still there and it can grow back again, right? And Mechal Yekarna is where it's totally removed to the sense that it can't grow back again. That's the way Rashi describes, right? The Mechal Yekarna and Lo Mechal Yekarna. So over here he says, the Sofa Lachzor V'Litzmach. Alo, it changed. There are two types of chain. One chain where he eats it, but it'll still grow back. And one chain where he eats it and it will not grow back. Right. And the case where it grows back, it won't be as strong as it was before, but it will grow back. Tosus takes issue with that and says, right, that can't be Mechal Yekarna, Lo Mechal Yekarna. Because he says, even in the Lo Mechal Yekarna case of Rashi, the Karen is gone. The animal is still eating the produce that's there. I mean, as opposed to what Rashi is interpreting as Karen to be the core of the plant that's able to go back, doesn't say Karen is the object itself. And he ate the straw, hay, he ate the wheat, whatever was there, he ate already. That's gone. The Karen's gone. So Tosus explains it to be Snifat Peros, which we're going to see in a couple of minutes, is a derivative tolda of Shane, but something where the animal rolls around in the fruit or defecates on the fruit, where he's getting benefits. But the Karen is still present. I mean, even though it's smushed or ruined, right? But the Karen is physically still present. That's different than Shane, where he consumes it and there's nothing left of what he consumes. So that's how Tosus differentiates between Mechal Yekarna and Lo Mechal Yekarna. But either way, right, that the possibility that the Gemara is introducing here is that the word Vishilach and Bier will refer to two different types of Shane. Ubier means to be consumed. Consumed means entirely consumed. Vishilach would simply be that it's ruined, but according to Rashi, either it can grow back, or according to Tosfos, it's still there, it's still present. That would be what you have it. Without the pasuk that teaches Mishalke Regel Ashur V'Chamor, that would teach us that Shilach means Regel, we would have had both Sukkim deal with Shane. So now the Gemara says...
Just have one pasuk.
Right, that was a very good. So Rashi, Tosfos says that, why not just have the pasuk that says Lo Mechal Yekarna, and certainly you'd know Mechal Yekarna. So the question is, if, first of all, would you have known that? That's a limud route to Shas always to ask that if you didn't have two psukim, you would have assumed that the first one dealt with Mechal Yekarna. Right, that's the thing. If you didn't have a shilach, or you would have put a v'er, and you would have just said it means Mechal Yekarna. So you have to, in order to have the bigger chiddush and say that even Lo Mechal Yekarna, you need two psukim anyway. The other possibility is, I think Tosfos offers another possibility, is that, right, V'yesh lomar davamina, he gives a havamina, the Gemara gives in a second, if Vishilach would have meant that only if you sent it in physically, I mean that if the owner pushed the animal to go there, so had you not had ubier also, right, then you would have thought, right, that it means only when the animal sent in, not when it goes in by itself. So you need both Sukkim to teach you that. So either way, you need the other puzzle to give you that Chiddush. Alright, now, the Gemara says, Gamash Malon, that we need both. Alright, now that you gave such a good Havamina, now that you're saying that Mishilach means Mechal Yukarna, means Regel, and Biar means Mechal Yukarna, how do we know the Lo Mechal Yukarna? Where do you know that? Half of Shane. So Gemara says, Dumiya the Regel. Because since Regel and Shane are found in the same pasuk, right, we can learn out Shane from Regel. My Regel, Lo Shana Mechal Yukarna, Lo Shana Lo Mechal Yukarna, when it comes to Regel, there's no such differentiation. Why? Because the verb Uvier is not used. Uvier means Mechal Yukarna. If you don't have the verb Uvier, right, then Vishilach would imply no matter what, no matter how it's eaten up. Therefore, since the damage of regal can be done irrespective of Mechal Yukarna, Lo Mechal Yukarna, Avshein, Lo Mishana, Mechal Yukarna, Lo Shna, Lo Mechal Yukarna, we'll apply that same non-differentiation to the verb Vier by Shein. So now, I'm Amar, so we're going back again to the Braisa. Ubi'er du Shein, right, with the Bi'er Shein, Chenu Mer, Kashi Yiva'er Aglal Adumo. We saw the three possibilities of what that means. But Kiver Galam teaches us that chain is from the word uvier. So Gemara says, "Time of this of Rachmana Kasher Yiver Galal Adumo." Had it not been from the pasuk, Alav Haki B'Mayukvinila, what would you have thought the word uvier means if it wasn't chain? So Gemara says, "E Karen Tiv." Again, if it's Karen, it's already written above. We have explicit sukkim about Karen B'Chigachi Golf Iregel Tiv. If Regel, we already have it in the pasuk Vishilach. So then Itzrek Gemara says, "No." That's Samina Idvidia Regel. Both of them are on the damage of Regel. Hada Azum Emela, Hada Shalok Shluchay. The difference between is if we only learned that Regel from Shilach, I would have thought only if he sends the animal in. Shilach. How do I know that if the animal goes in by itself that you're still responsible for the damage of Regel? That comes to the word Uvier. So now Gemara says, Kamash Malon, that's why I need the Pasuk to teach me Uvier means shame. Now the Gemara says, "Hashru ki hashein." Now that you're using the word "vier shein," regel da azla mamela minola. How do you get that? You had such a good habamina again. How do I now know regel that goes in without bishilach? How do I know that? The Gemara says, "Dumi the shein." Again, this hekesh or having the verb bishilach and vier on the same pasuk teaches me that I can learn from shein. Ma shein lo shna shal kashluche lo shna da azla mamela. Right? It doesn't. It's irrespective of how the animal gets in there because the verb you did used is "vier." "Vier" does not indicate how the animal got there. So since it's irrelevant how the animal got there in Shane, Avrego Loshna Shokash Luke Loshna Azumamelo. Doesn't matter if it's sent in or it's gone by itself, that too will be considered you'll be considered culpable for regal in that instance. So again, now the Gemara is at the point where it says Vishilach is regal, Ubier is Shane, right? Vishilach would have meant only if I sent it in. Therefore I learn now from Bier to teach me that no matter how it gets in, regal is problematic. Ubier is Shane, right? And Shane, where I was thought only Vier means Mechal Yukarno. I learned that out. I have that to connection to Vishilach, which says irrespective of Mechal Yukarno, Lo Mechal Yukarno, there's a least Chiddush. She has to pay for everything, meaning that he has to, right? To poter him, that's a Chiddush. And this is, he did do damage. Now the question is to make him Patur, that's already a Chiddush. So Mer says, Lichlo Rachmana Vishilech, Velo Ba'i Vier, right? We could write Vishilach and not have Vier at all. The Mashma Regel, Mashma Shane. Because the word Vishilach has both meanings. Why is that? Mashma Regel, Dechtiv Mishach, Regel Ashur Vachamur, that we already know above. We learned that in the Pasuk Yishayahu. Mashma Shane, Dechtiv Shin Behemot, Ashalech Bam. That we have a Pasuk at the end of Devarim, which it says one of the bad things that will happen is that Shane Behemot. I will send in the biting of the animals, right? Bam. So when it says, Ivkav Kro Yisera, had I not had the Pasuk of Vier, Havamina, Oha, Oha. Right, it has to be either or. O regel de zekum matzui, o shein de yeshanal zekum. Meaning that the word vishilach can only be one of the two. Neither be regel because it's common, it happens memela, and then o shein de yeshanal zekum. So now the Gemara says, michtei, wait a minute. Why do you say that you can only learn one or the other out? Michtei shkulin hein. They're equal. Each one has a chumra that the other doesn't have, and each one has a kula that the other one doesn't have. If that's the case, you should be able to learn out both of them from the word Vishilach. There's no reason to learn one over the other from the word Shilach. Then you should learn both of them out. But you have Oshneim, and then you'll learn both of them. It says, the Haminayu Mafka. So which one are you going to not learn? I mean, there's no reason to not learn one over the other because they both have a little Chumrah over the other. If you take that, you cancel out the Chumrah, then they're both equally, right, possible to learn out from that puzzle. And it says, Itzrich, Sakadat Samina Animi Lehechad Dishalach Shluchay. The problem is if you only have the word Vishilach and you learn both Shein and Regel out from it, you don't have the mitigating factor would be air, which means that it will only be Vishilach when you send it in, when the animal sent in. But Aval Azam Amela, if the animal went in by itself, where would you know that from if you only had the verb Vishilach? Well, so I would say in that case it wouldn't be Kamash Malon, that I need the word V'er. I need the V'er. So truthfully, you're right. From Vishilach, I could have learned to have both Shein and Regel. Problem with learning out Shein and Regel from Vishilach is then I would have thought only when the animal is sent in. But if the animal goes in, the Mela, no good. Kamash Malon, that's why I need the word of V'er. Once I have the word V'er already, I'm going to learn Shein from the V'er, which makes more sense. Then I'm going to learn out Regel from Shilach, and I'm going to cancel out the Chumras, or the Kulas of Mechalia Karna, and Lo Mechalia Karna, and Vishilach, and Memela by having each of the two verbs there, both V'er and Vishilach. Alright, now, told with the Shein Mahi. So this was all the sidebar to find out what Shein and Regel are. Now we're back to Rav Papa's question about told the Shein. Alright, so Gemara says, what are the toldos of Shein? Nitchachra bekotel anata. It rubs up against the wall in order to scratch its body to get, you know, to itch and get some benefit, and knocks the wall down, in this case, obviously. This is what I mentioned, Tosos was mentioned over here, that it dirties or sullies fruits. Now, how it sullies the fruits over here is questionable. Rashi says over here that it's rolling around in the fruits. It lays down and rolls around in the fruits. The Rak over here says no, that he defecates or urinates on the fruits. Now, I know it's a defecation, urination, and it ruins the fruits by urinating or defecating on the fruits. Now, Rashi, not here, but I think Rashi on Yitzchet makes it clear why he does not accept the Rach's Perish. And that's, you know, something that would jump out at me, which is that the Hanah is not coming from the Perot. I mean, that the Hanah Tachila comes from eating the actual Perot. Right? When you talk about rolling around the Perot, again, the Hanah comes from the Perot, because he's rolling himself in the Perot, and the Perot are the ones that are providing him this Hanah of rolling around in the Perot. Then if he urinates, if he defecates into the fruits, yes, he gets Hanah, and he damages the Perot, but the two aren't necessarily connected. I mean, the Hanah is independent of the fact that he's damaging the fruits. I mean, he could equally have gotten this Hanah without the fruits being there. And so therefore, there's no real connection. And that's why I think Rashi leans towards saying it means rolling in the fruits, not, urinating or defecating on the fruits. Alright, so the Gemara says, Mashna Shein, Tehesha Nole Ziko. Right, what's the key, as David just said, what's the key aspect of Shein? That the animal gets benefit, Hanah from it. Umimonka, it's your money. Ushmirata Alecha, and you have to watch it, and you have to prevent it from doing this. Arinami. So these toldos, which are nitchacha bekotel, tinfa perot, lanata, yeshanav, as they can, again, their benefit, their damage is created by the benefit they get. Umamonka, shmirat, and alecha, they're your monetary and your obligation, your money and your obligation. Right? Ella, told of the shame, kishane. Can't. The derivatives of shame are exactly like shame, and this can't answer Rav Papa's point, which Rav Papa gave two parts yesterday. One is some toldos are like them, and some toldos are not like them. So the part that toldos are like them, so far we found lots of those. What we haven't found is toldotem lav piyotiben, which is what the Gemara is searching for here. Toldos are not alike the yad. That we haven't found. So now the Gemara is going to show you. V'chit kamar Rav Papa told the regel. Rav Papa said that this toldotem lav piyotiben goes on regel. But toldot the regel mahi. What are the derivatives of regular? What are the toldot of regular? Hezeka begufa derech ilucha. Does damage while it's walking b'sara, like its hair gets caught on something. Anything that is derech iluch, anything that's done when it's normal course of walking or acting, that would be considered regel. So if it gets something gets caught in its hair, derech iluch, or hezeka begufa derech iluch, b'sara derech iluch, right? Body, its hair while it's walking, b'shalif shalach, right? With the harness or the saddle that's on it, b'prumbiyah shebepiyah, the bit in its mouth, zuk shebetavra, the bell on its around its neck. All of these, right, if the animal damages while it's moving or walking, these are things that are matsui, the animal is always moving, and it's something that is not done intentionally, not done lahanato, which is something that gets caught up in the movement of the animal. So when it says, again, maishna regel de chazeko matsui, what's the definition or the characteristic of regel? That it's zeko matsui, that it's, the nezek is always present or all, just happens, you know, memela. It's your money and you have to guard it. Hananami. All these examples that we gave here are Hezek and Matsuif. These are common things that happen, right? And again, it's your money and it's your obligation to watch them. El, again, the Gemara concludes, told the regel to regel. Right? The derivatives of regel are like regel, and we still haven't found the solution to Rav Papa's statement out of the damn Lapios event. Now, next. What's the next one? The Chikam Rav Papa told the Bor. Do you want to say that it's on the Toldot of Bor? What's Bor? Told the Debor, my name. What are the derivatives of Bor? So the Gemara says, Ilema Avyud told the test that an Av in Bor is a Bor that's deep, 10 Tfachim deep, and a Toda is a Bor that is 10 Tfachim, 9 Tfachim deep. Now why is the Gemara differentiating here? This has to do with the Gemara later on, but the Gemara clearly, or has a, and we're going to see this in a second, the Gemara is going to say this, that the Chachamim knew that a Bor that's 10 Tfachim deep could kill. Right, but less than 10 tefachim, a boar does not generally kill, it does cause damage. And therefore, a person is only responsible for damage in a boar that is less than 10 tefachim, but not for the death, because death should not occur in a boar that is less than 10 tefachim. Once you reach 10 tefachim, right, then it's a, what? Then it's even, not only is it damage that you're chayav for, but even death, you would be responsible for a boar 10 tefachim. So right now, what the Gemara is trying to suggest is, wait, there's this, the threshold, the 10 tefachim that makes it into a super boar where it can kill and do nezik, that the av should be yud and the toda will be tet. Where it says lo tet ktive velo yud ktive. First of all, the pasuk, all the pasuk says, right, is in Perech Chafala pasuk lemigimel b'chivtach yishbor. I mean, it says if you open up a boar and you're responsible for the damage that it does, bala boar yishalim. Where does it say 10 and where does it say 9? That's all, right, a mesorah that the chachamim has. So, why would you differentiate between Yud and Tet? And according to Rashi, we've seen this before, what qualifies something as an Av? That is written in the Pasuk. So here, if 9 and 10 are not written in the Pasuk, where do you get off saying that one of them is an Av and one of them is a Tolda? Right? So, the Gemara says, Halo Kasha, Vayet Meiti Yolo Amar Rachmana, that the mate, the dead body will belong to him. Vekim Lo Lerabonan, Yud Avde Mito, Tet and Zikin Avde, Mito Lo Avde. Right, so that in the end, the Chachamim have a right have a Misora that tet that only after Yud does it kill. And therefore, if the pasuk says Vameiti Yelo, that there's a dead animal found here, a dead animal only happens when you have a boar that is dead, more than Yud or Yud Tfachim and more. That's as if it's written in the pasuk, right? This is a boar of Yud Tfachim. So now the Gemara says so the Avdamisa v'Zav and Zikin. Wait a minute. I mean, you can create two categories. Bor miso and bor nizikin. Now the way Rashi learns it, in order to be an av, it has to be written in the pasuk. So Rashi says, based on this, that because the pasuk says that you can learn out bor asara from miso, from that you can also learn out bor ted for nizikin, because it says, but not fall shama short or chamor. Right? It says that a short or chamor will fall in there. Doesn't, it's irrespective of dying or nizikin. It just says they will fall there. It doesn't tell you what's going to happen. So that could be nezik or miso. According to Rashi, they're both found there. They're both in the pasuk. They're both in pasuk, they can both be an av. An av the mitzvah is yud, and av the zikin is tet. Tosafot says that he doesn't like what Rashi, the way Rashi is interpreting it because of limudim further on in the Gemara, where the Gemara has miutim, and those miutim only tie to a bor yud, not to a bor tet. And because of that, he says you can't say that they're both written in the pasuk. So what Tosafot says in the end is no, that a stam bor is a bor that's very deep. And the Gemara says that Tosafot says, well, in the end, that the whole idea that there's a yud tfachim or special of yud and tet. Right, that has to do with Svara. I mean, the Svara or Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Once you enter in Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai to define Yud and Tet, then you can't define one as an Av more than the other one. Since you're using a Lima that's outside what's written in the Pasuk, then they're both equally come from the same Svara, the same Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Same Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai teaches Yud, teaches you also Tet. So they're on equal footing. Since they're on equal footing, they're both Avot. Avot meaning Av to Misa and Av to Zikin. Suppose the Rashi needs to have it written in the Pasuk to be an Av, so he has to find that pasuk, how the pasuk says both nizikin and both misa. Tosafot, on the other hand, says no, you can have an av because the pasuk says bor. Bor means a bor even very deep, or mostly means a deep bor. So once I know a deep bor, that applies to nizikin and that applies to misa. Because when you're more than 10 tefachim, a bor, a stam bor, that will kill and do damage. So both of them are written in the pasuk. Now, to differentiate between yud and tet, that's already al-chamosh mishnah, it's outside the pasuk. And the same logic that defines yud also defines tet. That's the case. That differentiation makes both of them avos and not togos. Either way, you end up with the same conclusion, which is one dav mitzah, one dav zikin, and we don't have a toda so far aboard. So what's the toda aboard? Ela abnos kino matzoshin ichan b'rishut harabim. Has to do with some your objects that you leave in the middle of the rishut harabim. A stone, a knife, your bag. You drop your knapsack in the middle of the rishut harabim. So now it says they go and they did damage. So hey, can you tell me what's the case? Idaf Karinu, if he was master, then he disowned those objects, then Ben the Rab Ben the Shmuel had a bor. That is bor. I mean, even though it's a toda, a derivative of bor, that is exactly what bor is. Bor is when you use the property of the Rishus HaRabim to dig a pit, which isn't yours. You don't own the Rishus HaRabim. You create a damage or an object that can damage in the middle of the Rishus HaRabim. The same thing here. When you put your object and master them in the Rishus HaRabim, you basically replicated what a bor is. Either lo askarinu, if you're not master them, either Shmuel domar kulam bibor lo madnu hainu bor. According to Shmuel, it says that even when you have private ownership of objects that you leave in the Rishus HaRabim that cause damage, that's still a derivative of bor, and that's still bor. Rav says we learn it out of shor. They're told of shor, not a told of bor. Then according to Rav, right, hainu shor. They're just like shor. So maishna bor, right, shekpein tzkula to asila to the nezek. And in the first place, what's the problem with bor? That it's basically a problem from the moment it's dug, it's ready to do damage. I mean, it's really right in there to do damage. It's your responsibility. Right, Haninami, all of these objects. Kilat and Siyatam the Nezek, Mamonkha Shmeratelecha. Right, okay, so Mamonkha has to do with the din that we'll see later on, which is truthfully the board does not belong to you because it's in Rishut HaRabim, but these Shnei Dvarim that are not in your possession, Bakatuv, Asan, put them back into your possession. What are those? Chametz, right, Chametz and Pesach, Chametz and Pesach, and Bor Rishut HaRabim. This is one of the objects of the Torah, even though it's not your money, I mean you don't own the bor, nevertheless the Torah puts it and makes it your ownership. You become the halakhic owner for responsibility of that bor. Alright, Elda told the bor. Again, any derivative of bor, told the bor exactly like bor. They look like bor, they act like bor, they have the same dinim as bor. So again, you don't have to solve the problem of, so the damn lap yut me amara papa. The chikamara papa, I told the mave. Right, so what's the Toldah of Mavet? So that's one of the avot that mentioned in the Mishnah. But what is Mavet? So that we have to confirm. Mainu, what is it? Ilu Shmuel damar Mavet zu Shein. Shmuel says that Mavet is the damage of Shein. Ha ukimna told the Shein kishein. We already know, we did that part already. We know the derivatives of Shein are Shein. Either Rav damar Mavet ze Adam. Mavet is Adam amazik, right? A person that does damage. My avot, so my Toldot is bay. What is the difference between an av and a toldah when a person does damage, right, with his body? Chitei ma'av ne'ur toldah yashan, or yashen. Right, that the av is when he's awake, and the toldah is when he's asleep. He does damage while he's sleeping. He rolls around, he swings out his arm in the middle of his sleep. That'll be a derivative, and when he's awake, that'll be the av. It says vatnan. We have a Mishnah, right, further on. Adam bu'av de'olam. A person is always a damaging vehicle, ben air, ben yashen. Whether he's awake or asleep. I mean, there's no differentiation. Being awake or being asleep is just being a person. Is it up to define you as a mazik? And there's no differentiation being awake or asleep. Ela akicho v'niel. What's a derivative of tolda of Adam? Is Rashi says kicho is his spit, or saliva spit. V'niel is his, the mucus that comes out of his nose. So those that are come out of the person, if they do damage, right, that is the derivative of Adam. Tosfos disagrees and says, no, that kicho v'neo both have to do what comes out of your mouth. One of them is the saliva of your mouth, right? It's kicho, and neo is the stuff that you cough up from your lungs, right? The, again, mucus, the phlegm that comes up from your lungs that you would spit out. Both of those coming from the mouth, but either way, that they're doing damage. How do they do damage? Hey, dummy. Iba hadi de azlim kamatke. If they are, they're in projectile mode, right, when they're coming out, they do damage. Kokohava. That's the koach, that's the strength or the derivative of the person. His, right, his power is what's generating that, and therefore it is exactly like him. It's his responsibility. Ibad with the knife, if it already fell on the ground, right, and now it does that, somebody slips on it, or something, you know, falls into it, does damage to it. Ben the Rab, ben the Shmuel, I know bor. That's bor. Why? Of course he's maskir it. He's not keeping possession of his kefil and nail. Right, that which fell apart, it's called tefker. If it's tefker, that's bor. We just saw that. Avno sakinu maso, that he's maskir is bor. Ella told the mavik and mavik. Again, derivatives of mavik are like mavik, because either you say in projectile mode it's damaging, that's your koach, so that's a derivative of Adam, and you're going to be chayav like an Adam, or if it's on the ground already, it's like bor. And we know that that looks exactly like bor, and you're going to be responsible some way. The chikamar, rapapa, I'll told the esh. Alright, we've got to find another possibility, that is the possibility of esh. So tell the Eish, my new. What are the derivatives of the Eish? Ilay Mavno Sakinu Matno Shenichan Beroshka Go. They left his stone, his knife or his bag on the top of his roof. And then a regular wind comes along and blows them off. And then they did damage. What was the case here? While they are, you know, blown off the roof and in motion, they do damage. That's exactly H. H is that an object that was laid to rest at some place, there was a fire, starts to spread on its own. I mean, there's another factor, and another factor comes in and moves it. So wind comes and moves the H, spreads the fire. Also over here, you put your objects down, why are they moving? Because wind came along and moved them. Right, so mashna eish tekoach achem murabbo b'hen, right, that there's another force that's moving the eish. Well, most kosh minat and alach, again, it's your responsibility, and you will be culpable for it. Right, hani nami koach achem murabben. Also over here, right, the koach achem is murabben. Right, that they are your responsibility. There are other ways for fire to spread, which is you can actually move the fire itself, or fuel can be the right. So either right, the question of there might be considered as if he lit it. I mean, that's the question of Aish, which we'll get to later in the Gemara, of how exactly or when you're responsible for Aish. Meaning that if you light something and there's enough fuel for it to move all the way through many, many fields, then maybe already you lit the field, that's already done. You did the action, that's not the Chiddush. Chiddush maybe in the Torah is that when a Ruach comes along and moves it, right, then you're still responsible. Not when there's, it's obvious that you're going to burn down three fields if you light the fire here. But rather, even when it comes up and you should have thought about it because wind comes, that also might be chayav. Let's see, we'll deal with that when we get there.
When a human spreads the fuel, that would be mazik?
No, it would be a derivative ish. But I'm just saying that the bigger kiddush is that even when the ish is just sitting there, right, and there isn't enough fuel, and fire moves the ish, when it is a ruach matzia, something that you should have considered, right, your lack of consideration about what could happen from a fire being here, that will make you culpable in ish. And certainly, where the fuel is already there, where it's obvious that it's going to spread. Right, Ella told us ish, keish. Derivatives of ish are like ish. Now we're out of it. We're out of options now. So it says, Chi kamar apaba told us the rego. Right, he said it on the direct going back at the beginning. So you guys say this, the derivative of rego. It says, Alkimna told us the rego rego. What do you mean? I told us the rego. We already came to that conclusion that rego, derivatives of rego are exactly like rego. So it says, no. B'chatsi nezek tsraro tehilchasig mirila. This is an unusual case where there are stones that the animal, while it's walking, kicks up stones. And when it kicks up these stones, right, these stones do damage. So that is a derivative of regel. Why is it a derivative of regel? Well, number one, it's a derivative of regel because it's done derech hiluchol while it's walking. Number two, it's not kavanato lazik. Right, it's not intending to damage, it's just walking. While it's walking, as a natural course of walking, it kicks up stone. Why is it not like regel? It's not like regel because there's a halacha of the Moshe Mitzinai that you only pay chatzi nezek. You only pay for half damage, right? Half the damage or half the value of something that is like kicked up in this way or damaged in this way. So Mar says that my kari le toldo de regel. Why is then it called a toldo of regel? The shalem min aliyah. That's to pay, how you pay. Okay, so when it comes to Karen, how do we know really that it is not Kavanot Olazik, or how do we know that it's done, you know, Derech Hiluchot? You might say, because we know because of how the damage is paid. When it comes to the damage done by Karen, then the Torah will get to these Pesukim again when we get to Chatzi Nezek of Karen. When a short Tom does damage with Karen, you only pay for half the value. But the way the Torah expresses half value there is that Yechad Tum, that you split the carcass and the value of the live animal. Based on that, the Gemara learns that when you have chatzi nezek of keren, you only pay from the animal, the value of the animal that is doing the damage. The value cannot exceed, or the money cannot exceed the value of the animal doing the damage for the chatzi nezek. That is not true by a regel or by muad. By regel muad, it pays min aliyah, means whatever damage you do, you must pay, even if it exceeds the value of the animal that is doing the damage. So here, by chatzi nezek tsrorot, how is the damage paid? The damage is paid that even though half the value, say it knocked over something, a barrel of wine, or the stone broke into a barrel of wine and pours out, and now it's kind of a ton of money, and that money is more, that's chatzi nezek, even half the value of this barrel of wine is worth more than the whole shor. He still will have to pay the whole value. That is like regel, not like keren. Or the chatzi nezek here is mamona, is mamon and not knas. Right, we'll see by the time that it's a knas, and therefore you only pay out of the body of the animal, not more. But here it's nezek, and you got to pay for the nezek. Gemara says, "Ami bai bai rova." Right? Wait, why is it so simple that you pay from the aliyah? Rova had exactly this question. If you pay out of the body, meaning the goof of the mazik, the animal that's mazik, it'll be capped at the value of the animal, or is there no cap to it? So the Rava mi bayilei. Rava had a question. The Rapapa shitale. According to Rapapa, it was simple that it was clearly that was definitely a pain min aliyah. The Rava the mi bayilei, a mikar lei told us the regular. So according to Rava, who says that it's not certain that we pay out of the aliyah. How do you know that chatin ezet tzoros is the derivative of rega? Mar says, because potra b'reshut rabim. Chatin ezet tzoros is potur in reshut rabim. Rego and chain are also potur bir shut rabim, because it says, will be er b'stei acher, has to belong to someone. That means chain and rego in reshut rabim, a person who puts their stuff there should know that animals are going to walk there and animals are going to eat there. That's not something that the owner has to worry about, because that's the people who put their stuff there have to worry about, right? On the other hand, if the animal goes into someone else's field, then already that's the owner's responsibility. So also over here, chatin ezek tzoros, those stones that are flying up and doing damage, if they're done in Rishut HaRabim, they will be patur. So only if they go into Rishut HaKher, they'll be responsible. So again, that's something that's domo the regular chain, not domo the Karen. Karen is even, you're culpable even in Rishut HaRabim. But that's something that people shouldn't be worried about. Animal goring, it's so unusual that we only pay and make them pay chatin ezek in Rishut HaRabim. That's not something that the person who gets gored should be worried about or should be thinking about, because that's not normal nezek or normal behavior in Rishut HaRabim. Shein v'rega, which are normal behavior in Rishut HaRabim, that you have to think about before you bring your stuff into Rishut HaRabim. You need to think about that.
Qualify in terms of being not to exceed the value of the damaging animal, meaning that if chatin ezek more than the entire value.
Yes, correct. Correct. All right, the Gemara deals with that. Yes, that is correct. That is the conclusion. The Gemara deals with it in a case where it's exactly the value and therefore half is half. But the Gemara says that when it's not half and half, then it goes to the full, up to the full value of the animal. All right, my maveh. What is maveh? We just saw this before. Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Rav amar maveh ze adam. I mean, Shmuel amar maveh ze ashen. Shein. Rav amar maveh ze adam. It says in the pasuk amar shomer ata. Right? Shomer. Amar Shomer. The Shomer says, Ata Boker Begam Laila. The morning comes in the night. Imte Bayun. If you desire it, Bayu. You can come. It'll come. I mean, that it's talking about the person. If they want things to happen, right? If they want it, it will happen. So it's clearly that Tivayun Bayu is dealing with a person, right? A person's will to do something. Ushmo Amar Mavez Ashen. Mavez Shane. Why deceiv? Ech Nechtesu Itzav. Right? How they searched, or they revealed that which was concealed by Itzav. Nivu Matzlonav. It was revealed. His cords were revealed. It's actually the Aftorah. This is the Aftorah for Parshat Vayishlach that we read from Avadja. So now, my mashmo. So how do you know this Nivu here means revealed? Kimetargim Rav Yosef. Like Rav Yosef, forgive the translation. Ichtin Itlabish Itzav. Right? Let's see what Itzav wears. It's Gilin Matzmori. Right? Then we'll reveal that which is hidden. So you see again that itgilin, the word nivu here means itgilin, to be revealed. Again, Tosfos here points out what we point out all over Shas, that Rav Yosef was itzaginora, he was blind, and therefore he was an expert in Targum, because there's a din of Dvarim Shvichtav Yavshar, right, from the modern Baal Peh. And because he was blind, he would have to learn the Torah Baal Peh, and because of that, he learned it Derech Targum and not, right, Derech Ktav, or Derech the Hebrew. Again, Tosfos here says, that's what the Shem Aferu Torah, that was why they wrote the Targum in the first place. And certainly for Tzagi Nahor, there's no greater Eid Latzot Lashem. So of course he can learn Derech Targum instead of Derech HaMikra. So Rav, my time Eloah Marki Shmuel. So why didn't Rav hold like Shmuel? Avacha Miktani Niv'eh. It doesn't say Niv'eh, right? What it says is the active verb rather than the passive verb. Shmuel, my time Eloah Marki Rav. Says Avacha Miktani Bo'eh. It doesn't say the active verb, it meant Bo'eh, but rather it says Bayu. So it says Mikhtay Kray Lokamar Daiki Lokamar Daiki. Right, in the end, the psukim are not exact like either one of them, because here we have maveh, right, and over here the two psukim offer you, right, words that are not exactly alike. They either give you the word tibayu bayum, or they offer you the word nivu, right, but none of them offer you the active verb maveh. So therefore, Rab, my time, Allah, Mark, Shmuel. Why didn't Rab hold like Shmuel? Tana shor, b'chol mili de shor. This, I think, Shmuel asked yesterday. How do you get to all these different avot that we just mentioned here that are more than the four in the Mishnah? That's the reason. Rav says that shor includes anything under the category of shor. That'll include Shein, Regel, Karen, they'll all be under the category of shor. Now, you have Mada left over. What are you going to do with that? You're going to make that into Karen, into Adam. Shmuel Nami, Hatan Le Shor. Well, Shmuel also has that problem in the Mishnah. It says the word shor. So Zamar Rav Yehuda, Tana Shor Likarno. That's the Karen, which is a different type of damaging of the Shor. Umave Lishino. And then it learns Mave for Shane, Regel. The Gemara will ask, but what does he do with Regel? Obviously now. Bachgamar. Okay, so you know what? We'll stop over here because this really reads through the whole mission at this point. We'll have to come back and investigate this tomorrow.